The Lord led me to Luke chapter 2, the story of Anna and Simeon in the temple after Jesus was born and they came to the temple to dedicate him. And so we're going to read this together this morning. We're going to begin to dive in. And so let's jump right in this morning. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read 25 through 40. It says, "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. And so when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel.' Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul.' Now Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married for only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. And when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him." God, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And I ask that you would just, with your Holy Spirit, let these words be planted so deeply into our hearts. That God, you would begin to stir up hope in our hearts, God, where maybe there was anxiety and worry. You would let us come to a place of fully trusting in you and your faithfulness. And that God, you are moving and working in our lives even if we don't see it. God, I pray that you would just use me this morning, God, and that ultimately, God, people would hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Simeon was a man, the Bible says, who was righteous and devout. He was fully in what God had for him. And it says that he was waiting expectantly for the Messiah, the Savior of Jerusalem, to come. Have you guys ever waited expectantly for something? Maybe a package in the mail that was supposed to get here before Christmas? I remember as a child, you know, Christmas Eve was just such a fun time of waiting expectantly. I remember one year I had to get up in the night and I had to use the restroom, and so I got out of my bed, I walked down towards the kitchen, and I saw my parents with a mound of presents on the table, and obviously my parents were like, go back to bed, you can't see this. But how many of you guys know that night I didn't sleep very well? Because I was waiting expectantly for morning to come, to be able to come and open those presents. Waiting expectantly, being hopeful. And the thing about Simeon and Anna in the season of Israel is that this wasn't a season where it was like easy to be hopeful. This wasn't a season where it was easy to be expecting. You see, it was a season of trials for Israel, and we're going to jump into that. But your first point this morning is that in a season of trials and suffering for Israel, Simeon was eagerly and expectantly waiting for the Messiah. In a season of trials and suffering for Israel, Simeon was eagerly and expectantly waiting for the Messiah. See, it's easy to be hopeful and expectant when you know what's going to happen. You know something's coming. I knew that night, that morning I was going to be opening those presents. It was very easy for me to be hopeful and expectant. But in this season of Israel, there was, they call it sometimes the 400 years of silence, the time where, you know, the last writings of the Old Testament and this waiting for the deliverance of Israel. See, during this time, Israel had been overrun and conquered by many nations, by the Greeks, by the Egyptians, the Syrians, and lastly, the Romans. Their people would have been overcome, and they were being ruled right now by the Roman people. Their religious system had been politicalized, and there was a lot of unrest. There was a lot of uncertainty going on in this time. But yet Simeon was waiting expectantly that God was still moving, even if he didn't see it. That God was still moving, even if he didn't know where it was going to come or what was happening. Reminds me kind of the time I was fishing with Pastor Dave. And it was cold, it was rainy, it was windy. We had been out for a couple hours, not one bite. But man, he still had this expectant hope. Like, you know what, we're going to get a big one. Like, there's something that's coming. I know something is coming. And I love that about Pastor Dave. You see, Simeon's eager and expectant hope was centered upon a promise that he had received from God. As you look into the text, it says that the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Lord's anointed, the Messiah. There was this promise from God that Simeon held on to. That no matter what the circumstances looked like, he knew that God was up to something and that God was going to be faithful to his word. And he had this expectant hope, even in the season of waiting. And many times in life, we go through times of waiting. We don't know the outcome of certain situations. We don't know how things are going to turn out. And it's so easy to come into a place of anxiety and worry and fear. But I believe that we can stand on God's word and that we can stand and know that he is faithful even if we don't see what he's doing yet. You see, how we wait matters. How we wait matters. So many times I feel like when we're waiting on God, we kind of get into this rut of just anxiety and worry and fear, but we need to know that God is working and that God is moving and that God is faithful. He is faithful, and that he loves you more than you could ever know, and that he is working in your life. We need to wait and trust in him. Dig into his word. Put his word into practice. Stand on the promises of God's word. Just like Simeon stood on the promise that God gave him through the Holy Spirit, this whole book is full of promises that God has given us that we can stand on. And here's the difference. When you wait without the promises of God, when you wait without that in mind, it's so easy to get into worry and to fear and anxiety. But when you begin to stand on the word of God and you take the word and you apply it and you memorize it, hope begins to stir inside of you. Faith begins to stir inside of you that God is moving and that he will be faithful, that we can trust him. How we wait matters. Your next point this morning is that Simeon was an active participant in seeing the promises of God being fulfilled. You see, Simeon wasn't just at home on his couch, you know, watching TV, his legs folded over himself, and just saying, okay, God, bring him to my house. You know, you told me I'm going to see him. Like, he was actively engaged with what God was doing. It says, and on that day, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and led him to the temple. That he was waiting on God to give him direction. He was waiting on God to know what steps to take. And he actually had to walk in obedience to see this fulfillment. The Holy Spirit led him to the temple. And that was the day that he saw Jesus face to face. And I want to encourage you guys this morning that in times of waiting, God will have things he wants you to do. He'll have things he'll want you to memorize in Scripture, things he'll want you to apply, people he wants you to talk to. That many times we pray for something, but we want someone else to be the ones that do it. But many times when we pray for something, God wants to use us in some way to see that fulfillment of that promise. I kind of see it this way. Football is a big thing right now. We got college football playoffs going on, and we're getting close to the playoffs in the NFL. And think about how important it is for an NFL team to not just listen to the play, but to carry out the play in the game, right? Each player has an assignment. I played football in high school, and if one person missed their assignment, it's like the whole play could begin to unravel, right? And so it's so important in football to know the play, to hear from the coach, but then realize that I have a part to play in this, that I have something I'm supposed to do. The Minnesota Vikings, my team, I don't think understand this many times, but that's okay. It's okay. We're still making the playoffs. But God gave Simeon an assignment. Go to the temple. Go to the temple. And I believe so many times as we are praying and waiting that God has things he wants us to do if we will be engaged with him and if we will seek him and we will say, God, what do you want me to do in this? What is my role in this time of waiting, in this time of waiting and seeing what you're going to do here? Show me, God. I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. And that was the heart of Simeon. He was led by the Spirit of God. And we need to be led by the Spirit of God as well. Now, another character in this text is Anna. Anna was described as being a prophet from God. And Anna was a woman who she was waiting on God. Listen to this first point tonight, this morning. Anna was a widow whose husband died after only 7 years of marriage. Think about that. In this time, husbands were the main provider of the family, and women didn't have a lot of opportunity to work and to make money. And so if your husband passed away, you know, that's why there was such an emphasis on taking care of widows in the Bible, because there wasn't really a way for them to provide for themselves. And so not only did she lose her husband, but she lost her financial security. And she could have went so many different ways when this trial and this testing of her faith came. She could have ran from God. She could have gone into depression and despair and just avoided anything that had to do with God. But look at what the text says that she did. It says, she never left the temple, but she stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She didn't leave the temple, but she had this expectant faith that, God, I don't know why this happened in my life, but I believe you are faithful and that you are my foundation. And I'm going to put my trust in you. See, Anna was faithful in her trials to continue to press into God. And because she was faithful through her trials, she saw Jesus face to face. She wasn't in that temple by accident. She made a decision. Even during this trial, I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to run after him. I know that he is faithful. I know that he is working in my situation. And because of her faithfulness to God, she got to hold baby Jesus and see him face to face. She got to see the promise of all of these prophecies and things in the Old Testament actually come to fulfillment. She was there because she didn't leave the feet of God. She didn't leave his side, but she continued to be steadfast in him. You see, I think our trials many times, how we respond to them, reveal who it is we worship and what it is that we worship. Anna worshiped God before her trials, and she worshiped God after her trials. And God was her foundation. No matter what, she knew that God was with her, and that was enough for her. That was enough. My question for us this morning, is God enough for you? Is he enough for you? You see, our goal in this world shouldn't be just an easy life. Our goal should be eternal life. And the Bible says that eternal life is to know God and Jesus whom he sent. See, we think about heaven so many times, and it's like, oh yeah, there's going to be no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, and we get so caught up on those things. But the prize of heaven is Jesus and knowing him and seeing him face to face. And I think so many times, church, we build our foundations and our life on trying to just get through this life as easy as possible and with as little struggle as possible. And when something happens to our life, to our family, to things that we own, to our finances, it's like everything crumbles down because ultimately Jesus was not our goal. I saw an analogy one time, and Francis Chan was the first person I saw did it, and he had this rope. Many of you guys may have seen this analogy before. He had this rope that was like 100 feet long. And on the very end of this rope, maybe an inch of that 100 feet, was a little piece of tape. And he says, this little piece of tape, this inch-long piece of tape, represents our life on this earth. The rest of that 100 feet of rope is eternity, right? It's like we're here for the average 70-ish years, right? Eternity lasts forever. And so many times we put every and all of our stock in this short inch of our existence. And when something happens in an inch, everything falls apart, rather than realizing, no, the goal is Jesus. The goal is to know him, to see his kingdom come and his will be done. And when knowing God is your goal, you can worship with an expectant hope in the midst of trials and waiting. When an easy life is your goal, trials will shake your foundation. I'm going to say that again. I want us to think about this morning. When knowing God is your goal, you can worship with an expectant hope in the midst of trials and waiting. But when an easy life is your goal, trials will shake your foundation. At the heart of it, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it that we worship? And what is it that we desire? What is it that we put on the throne of our hearts? Because if God is truly on the throne of our hearts, if he's truly the goal of our life, then when trials come, it's an opportunity for us to grow closer to the one that we worship. And our foundation is secure because God doesn't change. Church, things all over our life will change. Jesus said, in this world you will experience trials. Jesus didn't promise an easy life when we followed him. Trials fall on the just and the unjust. But when Jesus is your life, your foundation is secure because he doesn't change. We know in Wisconsin the weather changes. I mean, it's 50 to 50-some degrees today. I woke up this morning, I was checking the weather, you know, expecting maybe like 20, 30 degrees. I saw 50 degrees. I'm like, what in the world is going on in Wisconsin? Things change. Health changes. Finances change. There's so much change. But the only thing that doesn't change is Jesus. And that is the only thing we can build our foundation on. And that's the foundation that Anna and Simeon had. And because of that, they could live with an expectant hope because they knew that whatever happened, they still had their God. They had their Savior. If this world, church, is what you're living for, you're in for a long, unsatisfying life. But if Jesus is your goal, you know that everything you face is an opportunity to grow closer to him and ultimately see him face to face. I'm going to read James chapter 1, 2 through 4 to us. A couple different versions. We're going to read it in the NIV and the Message this morning. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it joy. I'm telling you, church, unless Jesus is your goal, unless having a strong faith is your goal, unless standing before Jesus and hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant, that's the only way that you can have joy when you face trials. If your foundation is in the world, if your hope is in the world, you can't consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. Let's read it this morning from the Message. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open, and it shows its true colors. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. When you have a trial, church, it allows your faith a chance to have perseverance. I'm sure many of you guys, like me in the room, have had moments where you're like, God, where are you in this? How are you moving in this? I don't understand why I'm facing this, why my health is failing me now. But it's an opportunity to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to press into God, and I'm going to keep my faith strong, and I'm going to see him through this, and God is going to see me through this. And you get through it, and you see, wow, God was with me this whole time. God was faithful. Look at how he came through. Look at what he did in my life. And then guess what happens? The next time you face a trial, you look back on the last time he was faithful, and the last time he was faithful. And the endurance of your faith, the perseverance of your faith begins to grow and grow until you come to a place where you realize that your God will never fail you, that your God will never leave you. He is a faithful, faithful God. When your faith is tested, press into Jesus. Put your hope in him. Get in the word of God and be faithful to what it says and wait on the Lord. And he will lead you. He will direct you. Romans 8:28, we're going to read this and we're going to close here in a couple minutes. It says, we know that God causes everything. This morning, can you say everything?
Everything.
That God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. Now, what this text doesn't say is that everything that happens is good. Okay? It doesn't say everything that happens is good. It doesn't say that God causes everything to work out the way that we think it should and the way that we think is best. But what it does say is that God causes everything to work together for our good, and we need to trust that he knows what is best for us. That ultimately God wants us to come to a place of completely trusting and having faith in him, and that he is our everything. And God will take every circumstance in your life, good or bad, and he will begin to weave it together for the good of those who love him. Do you trust him this morning, church? God wants us to come to a place where we trust him with everything. That something comes our way, some unexpected thing comes our way. We don't know where the money for the bills are going to come. We don't know how this health situation is going to work out. But God, I trust you, and I surrender to your will, and I surrender to your plan, and I will follow you, and I will be faithful, and I will wait expectantly for you to move. As I was thinking about this sermon, God put on my heart a story or something that happened to me. And it was a couple of days ago. I'm not driving school bus right now because school is out. So I actually I laid in bed and I woke up and I watched the sunrise. And it was an amazing thing. And this sunrise was the most amazing, beautiful sunrise I think I had ever seen. The whole sky was just covered in pinks and oranges and different colors and the way the clouds were shaded in. And it was just amazing, amazing thing to see. But I began to think about that. And I realized that before the sun began to peek out, there was probably 13 or 14 hours of darkness. And that even when it was dark, the sun was still there. The sun was still there, and the sun was going to peek out. And I think God began to speak to me about how even in the darkness, when you're in the situations where you feel like, God, where are you? Where are you? How are you moving? That the sun is still there, that Jesus is still there. And if you will wait out the darkness, if you will be faithful in the darkness, you will get to see the sun begin to peek out and the sun begin to rise. You'll see the faithfulness of God. Don't throw in the towel when it's hard. You see, be faithful to God. Wait with an eager and expectant hope because God is moving even though you may not be able to see it. This morning, I'm going to invite you guys to stand with me all across this room. And we're going to go back into the song, Waymaker. It was a song that we sang at the very end of the worship set. And it talks about how God is moving, even when I don't see it. How God is a waymaker, he's a miracle worker, he's a light in the darkness. And here's what I want to ask you to do during this song. What is that thing in your life? What is the unknown? What is the uncertainty? What is the trials? What are the things that you're facing? The things that keep you up at night, the things that try to bring anxiety and worry. And I want you to take that during the song, and I want you to lift it up to God. Maybe you want to raise your hands as a symbol of that, of God, I'm surrendering this to you. Maybe you want to come and kneel and surrender it. But I want you to take whatever that is, and I want you to say, God, I trust that you are working even if I don't see it yet. I trust that you are moving even if I don't see it yet. And I want you to begin to ask God to fill you with the hopeful expectation and to fill you with joy in the middle of your circumstances. And after we sing this song, I have a couple last thoughts to give to you, but let's sing this together this morning. Feelings. You know what? I know that this is hard, but God says this. And I think that's what Anna and Simeon did. And that's why they could worship God even before they saw Jesus. They didn't start worshiping and praising and thanking God when they saw the fulfillment of what they were waiting for. They were able to worship him in the waiting because they didn't let their emotions and their feelings rule them. So no matter what season of you're facing personally or as a church, we can have an expectant hope because our God is faithful. Whether it's something in your own life, I know a lot of people get really worked up about the church and the state of the church in America. I'm telling you guys, God is still moving. And we have to look at the state of the Jewish religion and their people during this time. They were being overtaken by nation after nation after nation, but yet they knew that God was working, that God was moving. It doesn't matter what we see with our eyes. We know that God's desire is that all men would come to repentance, that all men would be saved. Let's pray and believe that God is still working and moving. Let's live that way. Let's press into him. Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's believe. Let's fast. We're going to close with this verse this morning, Matthew 24, 9 through 13. You guys have that on the screens. This is Jesus talking. He says, "You'll be arrested and persecuted and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will become rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Does it sound like our world? People being persecuted and killed for our faith. People, the love of God is waning because of sin being rampant. But it says those who endure till the end will be saved. And here's the thing that God wanted me to end with this sermon. Anna and Simeon were faithful. In the middle of trials and waiting, they got to see Jesus face to face. When you are faithful to God, in the middle of your waiting, in the middle of your trials, one day you will stand and you will see Jesus face to face as well. And he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have finished the race. You have been faithful." And that should be the hope and prayer of every one of us. Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that you are faithful. In a world that is unchanging, you are our rock. And Lord, I ask right now for anyone who walked in this room with anxiety, with fear, with worry, with doubt, that God, your Holy Spirit would begin to bring an expectant hope that they can trust in you, Jesus. That God, instead of turning to their emotions and their feelings, God, they would turn to your word. They would stand on your word because your word begins to stir up faith in our lives. It begins to stir up hope in our lives. That we wouldn't let our feelings and our emotions rule us, but we would rule our emotions and our feelings with your word. And that, God, we would go throughout the rest of this year into the new year with an expectant hope of not only what you're doing in our life, but what you're doing in the church. God, we trust you. We know that you are faithful. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.